This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, July 14th, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, Labour fights for an international law concerning violence against women in the workplace, how unions can fight climate change, and the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. The international labor movement is campaigning to have a new ILO law on violence, especially against women in the workplace. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
Labor organizations around the world are lobbying for the creation of an international law to eliminate violence against women and men in the workplace. The proposed law is an instrument designed by the International Labor Organization. The ILO is the United Nations body focused on matters of work in the world. If adopted by a country, the law, called a convention, would become part of the country's legal infrastructure. Conventions are often accompanied by recommendations on how to implement their provisions. The campaign to have the ILO adopt a convention about violence against women and men in the workplace is intensifying as more labor organizations lobby their governments to support the proposed convention at the ILO's annual conference in 2018. Leading the global campaign for an ILO convention is the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the global organization which represents national labor centers, such as the Ghana Trades Union Congress and the AFL-CIO in the United States. Chidi King is the director of the ITUC's Equality Department. In a Radio Labor interview, she was asked what forms of violence against women the ITUC was most concerned about.
Well, I think we're concerned about all forms of violence against women, really, which can take many shapes. Whether it's physical abuse, including assault, battery, attempted murder, sexual violence, including rape and sexual assault, you know, verbal abuse, bullying, psychological abuse, intimidation, sexual harassment, stalking, threats of violence. I mean, the list is quite long. And, you know, whilst there's some extreme forms of violence, which we can all easily recognize and say, you know, this is unacceptable, it needs to be stopped, other seemingly minor forms of intimidation and harassment and coercion sometimes take place over extensive periods of time and can have devastating effects. And we've seen some of these even leading up to acts of suicide. So I think our objective is really zero tolerance on all forms of violence against women in the workplace, recognizing, of course, that different measures need to be applied according to the severity of the violence that we're talking about. But prevention is what we're aiming about at its and zero tolerance.
The campaign has taken on some urgency because the ITUC is asking its affiliates to complete a questionnaire about their experiences with violence against women. The questionnaire must be completed by early September in order to have its results considered at the ILO conference scheduled for June 2018.
The labor movement is at the forefront of the struggle against the effects of climate change and progress towards green, sustainable economies. One of the labor organizations fighting for climate change solutions is Trade Unions for Energy Development. Helping to lead TUED is Sean Sweeney from the journal New Labor Forum. He spoke about the role labor unions can have in the struggles associated with climate change at a recent conference.
I'm here to talk a little bit about energy, but in the context of labor struggles. I see three tasks in front of the labor community, both here and internationally. The first is we need an independent voice on energy, climate, and environment. One that's not tied to the vision of the industries, including the renewables energy industries, or the big environmental groups, many of whom are quite agnostic on the question of worker issues. So we need an independent voice. The second thing we need is we need to turn voice into vision. It's no point saying all the time what the problems are. This is really important. We're inspired by these struggles of resistance. But we need to show how we can reach the targets that were established in Paris, and I mean the science-based targets, not the commitments made by the countries, because they're two very different things. We need to be able to turn that vision into the kind of program that can actually get the job done. All over the world, we got scientists and engineers saying, oh, we can do this. In 25 years, we could be 100% renewable power. Why is it not happening? Yes, it's the fossil fuel companies standing in the way. It's also the dynamics of growth, profit, and consumption that run through the global economy. But also, it's the belief that renewable energy has to compete on an even playing field with fossil fuels. We have to throw that idea out of the window. If the future of human civilization and all life on Earth depends on whether renewable energy is 8 cents a kilowatt hour or 10 cents a kilowatt hour, that is not an acceptable proposition, and we're not going to put up with it. I'm from the land of Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn actually was born 12 miles from where I live. He was born in a small town named Chippenham. Now, I'll just use this as an illustration. 2 years ago, the idea of public ownership, of renationalizing energy, was completely on the margins of the political debate in Britain, even among the trade unions. The unions got together and they decided they were going to push the Labour Party to support a program of reclaiming the energy sector, which was popular amongst the British public. Privatization had been a disaster. Those unions, with Unions for Energy Democracy, we went and met with the Labour Party just a few months ago and said, put this in the manifesto. And yes, it was in the manifesto to break up the big six cartel energy companies, to have 200 green cities pushing public renewable power. So public renewable power, public investment, let's all rally behind it. If you're in a union, get involved, get active. Unionsforenergydemocracy.org.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 300 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to stories about the deaths of Bangladeshi garment workers in factory fires, the struggle for pay equity led by the Nurses Union of Kenya, and the call by German Volkswagen workers for the car maker to take responsibility for labor rights violations in its Chinese plants. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. A week into their strike over an increase in hours and a decrease in pay, Swedish waste collection workers quit their jobs en masse. On the same day as the resignations, workers at the other company that collects waste in Stockholm walked out in a solidarity strike. Haitian textile workers continued to press their demand for a living wage with the support of Canadian unions. Badly paid American nurses were walking picket lines in an effort to gain a wage increase. Indian conservancy workers stopped work to protest the planned privatization of the services they provide, while cleaning staff at a large Indian hospital stopped work as they entered the third month of work with no pay. Banana plantations in Guadeloupe were struck by workers who were demanding a living wage. Ironically, Pakistani Workers' Welfare Board employees were forced to mount a workplace occupation in an effort to regularize their temporary employment contracts. In some cases, the workers have been employed temporarily for almost a decade. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the leadership training provided to Nepalese union activists and migrant workers in Malaysia, the fight for domestic worker labor rights in Colombia, and the struggle of women in the Palestinian job market. The Health and Safety Newswire, rerun in cooperation with Hazards magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about new Canadian regulations covering the hours of work for airline pilots, calls for action after asbestos was found in British schools, and the ongoing struggle for justice by the victims of a garment factory fire in Pakistan. Currently, Labour Start is running 7 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Radio Labor's newscasts are available on its website, iTunes, mobile phones, union websites, and community radio stations. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.